The book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10, and we begin our study today in verse 17. I want to begin reading in verse 12, and Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Okay, Daniel chapter 10, Daniel has been praying, and he saw a vision. He was praying. He was not feeling very well because of his people back home in Israel who had returned to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple, and things were not really going very well. And he had, as he was seeking God, he had an angelic visit. And the angel is saying some things to him. And in verse 12, it says, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. That prince is actually a demon. He ran into trouble with a demon, this angel did. For 21 days, he fought this demon. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there. Well, he said, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So Michael the archangel comes and helps this angel, and 2-on-1, they defeat the demon. And so the angel says, now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. And while he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Well, we can see that the holiness and the majesty of this angel was so great that it terrified and pretty much incapacitated Daniel. 18, again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. And so he received an angelic booster shot, which gave him some more strength. Verse 19, do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed. He said, peace, be strong, be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. Never hurts to be reminded that God loves you. And that is especially true when you're feeling humbled because of your sinfulness. Daniel needed words of comfort and reassurance of God's love more than anything else, and that's what he received here. Verse 20. So he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. And so after the angel leaves Daniel, he will go fight that demon from Persia again to keep him from performing any evil plans he may have against God's people. And then he will have to fight a demon from Greece too, which will replace Persia as the next superpower. And so this angel has his work cut out for him. He, like the other good angels, worked very hard for God and on behalf of God's people. 21. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stance to support and protect him. And so Satan and his demons work very hard around the clock to hinder God's good plans for his people. But God's angels work hard as well to see that the Lord's plans and purposes for us come to pass. Here it was, this angel and Michael the angel, who fought for the welfare of God's people Israel and for the will of God to be done. Verse 2 of chapter 11, now then, I tell you the truth. The angel says, three more kings will appear in Persia, and then a fourth, who will be far richer than all the others. When he has gained power by his wealth, he will stir up everyone against the kingdom of Greece. Xerxes was the fourth and wealthiest, king of Persia. He invested his wealth in a war with rival superpower Greece. Verse 3. Then a mighty king will appear, who will rule with great power and do as he pleases. The mighty king. And this mighty king that the angel speaks about in verse 3 would be Alexander the Great of Greece. He destroyed the armies of Persia. No one could stop him. 4. After he has appeared, his empire will be broken up and parceled out toward the four winds of heaven. It will not go to his descendants, nor will it have the power he exercised, because his empire will be uprooted and given to others. The accuracy of these predictions and their fulfillment, like every other Bible prophecy, are right on target. Alexander the Great died, and after he died, his kingdom was divided four ways. Each one of the four was ruled by one of his generals. And then later, the whole works was conquered by Rome. Verse 5. The king of the south will become strong, but one of his commanders will become even stronger than he, and will rule his own kingdom with great power. The general who controlled the southern portion of Greece became stronger than the other three leaders. And then one of his assistants, Seleucus Nicator, became even more powerful. Verse 6, after some years, they will become allies. The daughter of the king of the south will go to the king of the north to make an alliance, but she will not retain her power, and he and his power will not last. In those days, she will be handed over, together with her royal escort and her father, and the one who supported her. After several years, the king of the south and the king of the north will make an agreement. This will happen when the second successor of Seleucus, Nicator, marries Bernice, the daughter of the king of the north, Ptolemaeus Philadelphus. And the plan ultimately fails when Bernice is rejected. Verse 7. One from her family line will arise to take her place. He will attack the forces of the king of the north and enter his fortress. He will fight against them and be victorious. Bernice's brother becomes the ruler of the south. When he does, he attacks the north and he wins. Verse 8. He will also seize their gods, their metal images, and their valuable articles of silver and gold and carry them off to Egypt. For some years, he will leave the king of the north alone. The king of the south, which would be Egypt, defeats the king of the north, which would be Syria, and returns home with the spoils of war. Verse 9. Then the king of the north will invade the realm of the king of the south, but will retreat to his own country. Later, the king of Syria, the king of the north, attacked Egypt. However, the attacks failed when his ships were destroyed in a storm and his army was defeated. And so it happened just exactly as God said it would happen. Verse 10. His sons will prepare for war and assemble a great army, which will sweep on like an irresistible flood and carry the battle as far as his fortress. Later, the sons of the northern king attack Egypt successfully this time. They then return for the winter and attack again in the spring and once again are successful. Again, it all happened. You can read about it in history just as the angel said it would. Verse 11. Then the king of the south will march out in a rage and fight against the king of the north, who will raise a large army, but it will be defeated. So the king of the south has had enough. You know, he's angry about all these attacks by the north, and so he attacks the north. And that would be Syria again. And Syria puts together an army, but they are defeated this time. Verse 12. When the army is carried off, the king of the south will be filled with pride and will slaughter many thousands, yet he will not remain triumphant. For the king of the north will muster another army, larger than the first, and after several years, he will advance with a huge army, fully equipped. And so after 13 years, the king of the north attacks Egypt. He has strengthened himself during the 13 years by winning wars against the kingdoms of the east. Verse 14, in those times, many will rise against the king of the south. The violent men among your people, your own people, Israel, will rebel in fulfillment of the vision, but without success. And so in Egypt, some of the king's own people will get tired of his unfair treatment, and they will join in a rebellion, including among the rebels, there will be some Jews, Daniel's own people, as the angel puts it here. But the rebellion against the king of Egypt will fail. And again, this was fulfilled. 15. Then the king of the north will come and build up siege ramps and will capture a fortified city. The forces of the south will be powerless to resist. Even their best troops will not have the strength to stand. And so afterwards, the north will once again attack the south, and the south, Egypt, is defeated. Verse 16. It says, the invader will do as he pleases. No one will be able to stand against him. He will establish himself in the beautiful land and will have the power to destroy it. Well, the king of the north will overrun the entire country, including the Holy Land, which had been under the southern king's control. Well, he defeated the southern king, Egypt, and so now he has control of the Holy Land, which is called the Beautiful Land here. 16. Actually, verse 17. He will determine to come with the might of his entire kingdom and will make an alliance with the king of the south. And he will give him a daughter in marriage in order to overthrow the kingdom. But his plans will not succeed or help him. Well, this is interesting because you can read about this in the history books too. I mean, it happened. The king of Syria, Antiochus the Great, tried to defeat Egypt completely. And he came up with a new plan to get control from the inside out. And so he gave his daughter, Cleopatra, to be the wife of the new king of Egypt. But the plan didn't work. It failed because Cleopatra became more loyal to her husband, the king of Egypt, than she was to her father, the king of Syria, who sort of planted her in that position to defeat the king of Egypt. Verse 18. It says, then he will turn his attention to the coastlands and will take many of them. But a commander will put an end to his insolence and will turn his insolence back upon him. After this, he will turn back toward the fortresses of his own country, but will stumble and fall to be seen no more. The king of the north, Syria, decides to attack the nations by sea, and he will take control of many of those nations. However, one leader will defeat him. General Scipio led an army from Rome and defeated him. And so the king of the north then returns to his own country with his power pretty much gone. 20. His successor will send out a tax collector to maintain the royal splendor. In a few years, however, he will be destroyed, yet not in anger or in battle. The next king of Syria had large debts. You know, maybe the previous king who had all these military expansionistic ideas, he probably rung up a pretty big debt and left it to his successor. Well, his successor couldn't pay, and he didn't last long. His own officials killed him. 21. He would be succeeded by a contemptible person who has not been given the honor of royalty. He will invade the kingdom when its people feel secure. The kingdom would be the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel. It says when its peoples feel secure, when God's people feel that everything is just fine, and he will seize it through intrigue, then an overwhelming army will be swept away before him. Both it and a prince of the covenant will be destroyed. It says in verse 23, after coming to an agreement with him, he will act deceitfully, and with only a few people, he will rise to power. When the richest provinces feel secure, he will invade them and will achieve what neither his fathers nor his forefathers did. He will distribute plunder, loot, and wealth among his followers. He will plot the overthrow of fortresses, but only for a time. And the next ruler of Syria is who this is referring to, and he was a very bad man. He was Antiochus Epiphanes, horrible fellow, ruler of Syria. Many thought he was a madman, and he certainly did act like one. He became king of Syria through deceit. He told lies. He cheated. He did whatever he had to do. He said whatever he needed to say to get the power that he wanted. He was real good at being bad. He must have been, because he defeated other nations using the same tactics. He was worse than the kings before him, but God only allowed him to go on for a certain time. Verse 25. With a large army, he will stir up his strength and courage against the king of the south. The king of the south will wage war with a large and very powerful army, but he will not be able to stand because of the plots devised against him. Verse 26. Those who eat from the king's provisions will try to destroy him. His army will be swept away, and many will fall in battle. The two kings, with their hearts bent on evil, will sit at the same table and lie to each other, but to no avail, because an end will still come at the appointed time. Interesting, Antiochus Epiphanes had a huge army, which he wanted to use to destroy the king of Egypt, the king of the south. Well, Egypt also had a strong army, but because of disloyalty among his people, he lost. And it's like Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Verse 28. The king of the north will return to his own country with great wealth, but his heart will be set against the holy covenant. He will take action against it and then return to his own country. Well, on his way home, after defeating the king of the south, Egypt, Antiochus Epiphanes will stop off in the Holy Land. You see, he was an ungodly man. He hated God, and therefore he hated those who worshipped God. As a result, he persecuted them, and then he returned home. Verse 29. At the appointed time, he will invade the south again. Notice, at the appointed time, God is in control of history. But this time, the outcome will be different from what it was before. Antiochus attacked the south again. He attacked at a time appointed by God, but this attack failed. Verse 30 tells us why. It says, ships from the western coastlands will oppose him, and he will lose heart. Then he will turn back and vent his fury against the Holy Covenant. He will return and show favor to those who forsake the Holy Covenant. Antiochus failed in his attempt to attack the south because the ships from Rome fought against him. You see, Rome is coming on the scene now here. And consequently, Antiochus, the king of Assyria, was afraid, and he headed home. He was afraid, but he was also angry, ticked off, because he didn't like to lose, you know. So he stopped off in the Holy Land and did his best to destroy the worship of God. He was cruel to those who served God, and he was kind to those who did not serve God. 31. His armed forces will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and will abolish the daily sacrifice. Then they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. Antiochus, when he stopped off in the Holy Land, did not allow God's people to offer sacrifices in the temple. He made the holy temple filthy by putting some type of idol in God's house. 32. It says, with flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him. The king used brute force, but he also used his favorite tactic of deceit to win the people of Israel to him. He lied, and he made false promises to those who turned their back on God, and so they supported him. However, those who were loyal to God didn't buy his lies. They stood firm for the Lord. Verse 33. Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fail or fall by the sword or be burned or captured or plundered. The wise leaders in the Holy Land continued to proclaim God's word, even in the face of Antiochus Epiphanes, and many of them suffered for their devotion. Some of them were killed with swords, some were burned, others were put in prison. 34. When they fall, they will receive a little help, and many who are not sincere will join them. As God's people die for the faith in the land of Israel and will not cave in to the pressures of Antiochus Epiphanes, as God's people die, many will be moved and seem to come to God as a result of their martyr's death, but they will not be sincere about coming to God. It was just a superficial conversion, as it were. 35. Some of the wise will stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end, for it will still come at the appointed time. Many of the godly people will die for their loyalty to God, but their loyalty will purify them as well. God will reward them in heaven. That reward will last forever. And meanwhile, Antiochus will only be allowed to do evil for a certain length of time. Actually, turned out to be about 6 years total. And we will pick it up in verse 36 and finish the book of Daniel next time. Until then, so long, everyone.